Hello, everyone. We're just getting live on fantastic social media. If I could find it all. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Mark, you're going to fill for me for a little bit because I've lost myself.
Yeah, no bother. No bother. So, yeah, we are just going to wait for the live feeds. It's raining down in Sussex, and we just had a bit of a chat about that, which is no good. Everyone's in the same boat.
Excellent.
But we're smiling.
You guys, you know when you set up your computer running, I've got a gazillion pages open now. But I lost you. Now I found you. So Jack, as we said in our green room, we've got this bank of lights, and we're just waiting for them all to go live. And it's always Facebook, Mark, that stutters, which I always find quite interesting. Mark, just give us an update on AHDB, can you? Because the I don't know if Jack see this, but the last month you've been so positively prolific with your and loving your video clips from your colleagues. It wasn't that your marketing, your output was anywhere near bad previously, because it wasn't. It was superb. But at least, Mark, it feels like you got to another level. Mark, are you feeling the same?
Yeah, no, we're busy in the AgriLeader team and at AHDB at the moment, and there's lots going on as we're moving into the new financial year. We had a really successful for us, really successful AgriLeader forum down in Manchester earlier in the year, where we had some really, really good speakers, Stephanie and Marcus, which delved into how we could better be better networkers and better use our connections.
Yeah, and Jack, you would have loved one of the speakers. Is it Marcus West?
Marcus Child.
Jack, where he was so sublime, what was my word of the day, was that he's basically stating, have a vision and go to that vision. Don't worry about the details, because that's sort of figure the way out. If you have that vision, you'll be able to get there. And Jack, that's what we think, Mark and I think, you've got this vision that you've already got there, and we want to find out how you got there and where you're going next. Jack, would that be correct?
Yeah, I think that is very important within, like, business, is having a vision of where you are going to go next. Really, I've lost my, I've thought of all these things to say, and now I'm here live. My brain is gone.
But that's why we wanted you. That's why we wanted you on, because you are no false dawn. You're such a success in what you do, but it feels like and Mark and I all say this, feels like everyone's got a chapter, a book, and about their life, about their career. And it only feels to me, Jack, like you're a third of the way through your book. So that's why we want to learn from you. And also, Jack, unless you tell me otherwise, you're constantly learning. Is that correct?
You are constantly learning. And I think, well, even my grandparents, they're in their early 80s now, and they still say they're constantly learning every day. And every day is a school day, really. And it's funny, when I look back now at what, like, my marketing strategies maybe 3 years ago, I look at it and cringe and think, how did I think that was worth putting up? That looks terrible. But I'll probably think the same thing in 2 or 3 years' time on what I'm doing now, because just caught up to progress.
Jack, you're brilliant. Let's find out about you. We've now got Facebook Live, so let me do the official bit. Hello, my name is Max McGillivray from Beanstalk Global. Real pleasure today to have Jack Sheffield on with my esteemed colleague, Mark Cornwall. Tom Mark Cornwall. That's what one of my buddies from school, with Mark Campbell. So why have we got Jack on today? AHDB Talking Leaders series. Jack Sheffield, farmer and founder of Feel Alive Agri, discussing building a brand. We know how important it is to be inspired by both big businesses and individuals, which is why we're excited to present Talking Leaders, a monthly initiative from the AHDB, which sees a series of inspirational speakers. Hear that, Jack? You are inspirational today. To share their life experiences and deliver impactful stories to the Agri Leader community. In our March broadcast, we're delighted to be joined by Jack, farmer and founder, as we said earlier, Feel Alive Agri, about how he's built his brand. Jack started Feel Alive Agri in 2017, with an aim to create a brand aimed at young people in agriculture, which is affordable yet stylish, a brand which could be worn on the farm, in the field, or at the shows. Having been in farming all of his life, growing up on the family farm in Sussex, attending agricultural college and working in different UK counties and down under in Australia, he's no stranger to the farming way of life. But he saw there was something the people of the farming community needed and wanted, with social media being such a massive part of his life, and even more so in agriculture nowadays, it gave launching the brand a helping hand. How did he build his brand? What advice he give to others, as well as lessons learned on this journey. Let's find out. And as part of this, please feel free to ask Jack or Mark or me any questions, whether that be on Zoom or on the, all the social media platforms that we have. And Jack, we'll obviously tag your site. Your site's brilliant. Oh, let me use the word of the day, sublime, which is www.feelalivealagri.co.uk. And just to resonate this, I've got a 16-year-old who's farming mad, and he's recently, I was saying to you guys earlier in the week, he recently got a scooter. What was the first thing he got with his scooter? A Feel Alive Agri sticker down one side, and he's put that all over his social media because he's so proud to run, Jack, with your brand. So Mark, how did you come across Jack? What's the relationship, Mark, with yourself and Jack, please?
So my relationship with Jack goes back a few years now, and I had the privilege of teaching Jack at Agricultural
about
College.
12 years now, wasn't it?
Yeah, going back a few years, I had the privilege, and he was in my tutor group, and I taught him all things dairy and all things pig production, and maybe a bit of tractor driving for good measure, but that was
a little bit.
Excellent. And so Jack, just go back to beginnings. How did your agricultural journey start?
That's a very good, that is the $1 million question. I can't actually remember the start of it. Like, possibly, I remember having a toy tractor as a kid, and I didn't have a trailer. And I used to call tractors got gats as a kid because I've got that, but I didn't have a trailer. So a trailer was called a Brabham. So if I ever start manufacturing tractors one day, I will call them got gats. That's what I'll call the tractor brand. So I just remember as a kid always being surrounded by tractors, and tractors was the main obsession. It wasn't crops or cows or farming, it was just tractors. And then that's how the farming obsession came, and I've never known any different. I can never remember it starting one day. They've always been there for me.
And Jack, is that something different about agriculture in comparison to, I don't know, accountancy? No, we all need accountants in life, but there's something different, isn't there, about the passion that people have for agriculture, that whether it be tractors or whether it be moo cows like Mark, that we've all got this really interesting. Jack, cut you in half and you just read agriculture.
Just read agriculture.
If we cut you in half, you would read agriculture. Your blood is pulsating farming.
My dream job, I always wanted to become a fighter pilot, but I never went through with it. And I'm not very good at maths, really. I did really bad at maths at school, which was surprising. Now I run a business. But once you start dealing with money in the real world, you progress your skills of mathematics, I find. So I don't struggle now so much with maths. Yeah. Unless if it's got a pound sign in front of it, it's okay. But when I'm ordering stock, I have to have it all on front of me in paper or writing. I can't deal with numbers verbally, really. I find that quite a struggle. But
Jack, just join the dots for us. From you being 8 to 10, playing around with plastic tractors, to this very large business that you now have, supplying fantastic kit for the agriculture sector. Join the dots. How did you get from baby tractors to where you now are in a major warehouse selling kit in the UK and internationally? How?
For me, once I came back from Australia, driving tractors again for a season, the novelty for me really wore off. When you're younger, that's all you wanted to do. When we were at college, we just want to go and drive big tractors. And then once you get to that level, I kind of decided it wasn't for me. I still love going out on the tractors kit now because I do it in such a small dose. But I thought, right, I want to run a business and do something for myself instead of sitting on a tractor 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for someone. And I thought, I need to start a sustainable business within agriculture. I wanted to stay within agriculture, but I really wanted to do something that no one else was really doing. Like, there was something that was quite a niche, and I think I found it, really. So that's how it started, with a notepad in a tractor cab, and I used to write down all my ideas.
Excellent.
When I had a bit of spare time. And that's how Feel Alive Agri was born, really.
Okay, so are we presuming that you don't have 2,500 acres in Sussex to fall back on?
We have about 300 at the minute, really. It's a little bit less because we've put some into wildflowers for this new scheme. Love it or hate it, but we're also quite lucky to be up on, we do a bit of contract combining on the South Downs underneath the Long Mound, which is lovely in the summer. That's a nice little holiday. Some people want to go away for their summer holidays in the sun, but I'm quite happy to go up with Grandad on the combine and
do that. Okay, but Jack, being realistic, with that size of farm, which sounds delightful, and especially to the people internationally, Sussex is one of the most beautiful counties. It's it's south of London on the south coast. It's one of the most beautiful counties in the UK. But 300 acres, you can't really support a farm with that. Presumably that could support you career-wise. And so hence you go to Australia and hence you looking at other opportunities.
Yeah, so really with the farm, like the 300 acres that we've got, you couldn't really make much of a profit off that. I mean, we're quite lucky because we've got 6,000 traditionally reared Christmas turkeys on the farm. Not at the minute because they come in May to end of November.
Yeah.
But I kind of, at the time, there wasn't really a place for me on the family farm because I won't go into it too much. Farming with families does get quite complicated. I just wanted to do something for myself. I don't really like relying on people. I like to be quite independent. So that's why I came up with the idea I wanted to start my own business.
Okay, and agricultural college? What inspired you to go to ag college?
I just thought it was the thing to do because if you want to go into farming, sixth form didn't really interest me, like business studies or doing further history. It was all a bit dull. And I thought agricultural college seems to be a laugh because you hear of these people that, older than you, they've been to Plumpton. They've got these fantastic stories of mischief they got up to. And that's why I went for it, I think, because other people, it's the done thing to do in agriculture, really, isn't it? Is go to agricultural college. And
what about this quote? My lecturer, when I finished at college on the last day, he said, "Well done, Max. Coming to ag college was 90% learning about life and 10% work." Mark, would you agree with that? Jack, would you agree with that?
Yeah,
I'd agree with that. Like, I think it's probably one of the only places in, out of all the colleges, agricultural college is somewhere where you learn life skills a lot more than anywhere else, really.
Yeah.
In good and bad ways. I think.
And I bet Mark, you're probably like me, like Jack. You got some of your best mates are from your cohort from your educational days, Mark.
No, definitely. Some of my closest friends are from my college days, and Jack's very, very right. You don't realise what you learn until you're finished and you're a few years older and a few years wider.
So Jack, with your time at Plumpton, this entrepreneurial skill set, do you think that was already there, and at Plumpton with the likes of the assistance from Mark and the other lecturers, was that ignited and hence why you were just trying to look for this next thing?
I think thinking back now, I don't think it was there. I always dreamed of running a business, but I never thought of doing it. You always think when you're grown up and then you're an adult. And I think when you're at that stage in life and you're 16, 17, 18 at agricultural college, you're not really thinking about running a business or having a family in the future. You're thinking more about, I just want to go out and drive big tractors or go into Australia. And you still got that party mentality in your head and you still want to go out and do silly things, if you know what I mean. I don't think I had a sensible head at that age, and I wasn't really... If I knew what I knew now back then, I think everything would have been a lot different. But everyone can say that because hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, yeah. So come on, take us back to 2017 and just walk us through this story of how you created this amazing brand, Feel Alive Agri. 2017, what was that? Were you in a John Deere, a Massey, other tractors available? You just had this light bulb. Talk us through it.
So, to be honest, half of the story for the brand was already written because I always go back to how Feel Alive Agri actually came around. It was a saying. It was Harvest 2014. Let's go back to 2014. I'm over in North Kent at Fred French's. He is a fantastic arable farmer. He had about 6,000 acres at the time. He had some really like quite out there ideas. And when you went there, you proper get on with the job. And he had really nice kit, and I was in a 7530 John Deere at the time. I always had a thing for these tractors when I was younger. And I finally was like driving my dream machine, and I was absolutely living.
You've made it.
Yeah. So, as you know, like CB radio is at harvest time. It's a great platform for camaraderie, and there's a lot of banter, and it keeps everyone going. And I just came up with this phrase one day. I think I was half asleep, and someone asked me, "Are you okay?" I said, "Oh, I'm feeling alive in the 7.5." And it just became a joke, and I kept saying it, and I think people got a bit fed up with it and towards the harvest. So I kept coining this phrase on Snapchat and Instagram, and other people from elsewhere cottoned on to it.
Did they? Right, okay.
And I kept saying it like over the next two harvests, and it kind of became quite a thing, and that's how I got the idea of Feel Alive in the 7.5. So
Excellent.
After I gone to Australia. Australia gave me, I think going out there is a great investment for your life, because you learn so much and you meet so many different people. And I definitely got a lot of inspiration from the brand out there. So I'm back on the 7.5 in 2017, and the Feel Alive in the 7.5 slogan comes alive again. And I got some little stickers made up. I can't remember where I got them done. And I gifted them to Instagram followers free of charge on a first come first serve basis, and people were like wanting them, and they snapped them up really quickly. And that's how I got the idea that I could actually market this as like this slogan. I could market it as a brand and put it on clothing. And I just always had this vision of a black polo with Feel Alive Agri in big golden yellow writing on the back. And yeah,
a black polo.
That was the first item of clothing we did, and in my actual office, I've got the first polo in a frame because I thought I've got to keep hold of that.
Yeah, okay. So that idea from the sticker, and then transpose to then take it to the clothing, and was that a bit of a sense test that when you sent it out on Instagram that people wanted the sticker, and you realised you sort of tripped out, oh, hello, people are interested in this,
and that
got you even more enthusiastic.
Hmm. I thought, hang on, I should be charging people for this. I could sell this, but I can't. I thought I can't put this slogan on a polo because it's a bit of a one trick horse. It's not going to work. So I thought maybe if I can adapt the slogan to a brand name, that is how we could create a brand. Because at the time there wasn't really many agricultural brands out there. Now there's quite a few, and I like that because I think competition is very good, and once competition came around, it made me pull my socks up, and I really quickly got my act together, and it's made me progress a lot quicker, I think, with things. If there wasn't competition, I'd probably be quite far behind.
Yeah, well done. Jack, Mark, see what you think to this scenario. That's I remember I lived in a village in Suffolk, and there was one village pub that everyone went to, and then another village pub was born, and the first village pub was very worried because there's a second pub coming in. But they very quickly realised that actually what it did was it brought more people into the village because they wanted to experience both pubs, and it brought more trade in. So with your analogy about competition, the better businesses I come across are those that are worried, because they're worried, they're always looking, they're always planning, they're not complacent, and so they're always not reinventing themselves, but they're always trying to create new initiatives, whether that be marketing or product development, just to better themselves. Just Mark, you must see that with a number of your AHDB members, mustn't you?
Yeah, no, definitely see all those kind of things. And I suppose building on the point that Jack just made, so from potentially annoying a few people and with the conception of the initial slogan, what kind of other things, other than that first, let's chuck out a few stickers on Instagram, what other kind of things did you, once you'd realised, like Mike said, that people wanted this, what other kind of strategies or did you start to deploy to establish the brand and build a bit more awareness? And the second part of the question, is there any significance to the black and yellow?
Well, I'd go with the second question first. Black and yellow, it's my favourite colour, yellow, and I think black and yellow go together quite well. I just had it envisioned, but the strategies I used for building the brand was, if I could create, like, with the way the hashtag people like the hashtag and it's spread on social media, then I can promote this brand on social media. So I think Instagram at the time was like the primary platform, and it still is. TikTok has also now really taken over. That's a completely different ballgame, I find, marketing on TikTok. Instagram's always going to be number one. Facebook, I'm not a fan of, to be honest, at all. Okay. It's far too complex for what it is. And also annoys me, I can't have the brand name on Facebook the way it's meant to be. It has spaces in it because the F and the two A's are always capitals, and it won't let me do that, so I'm not a fan of Facebook. But yeah, that's a way I found to promote it, really, was Instagram got it off the ground. If it hadn't been, well, if it wasn't for social media, it wouldn't exist, I don't think, really.
Okay, then on the basis of planning forward, 10 years ago, these platforms didn't exist. There's so many eclectic, fantastic businesses like yours have been created, Jack. Any idea what's going to happen in the next 10 years? And just to give you an example, my 20-year-old daughter, who's doing marketing up at Nottingham, she stated to me something the other day that quite shocked me. She said that her generation do not use Google at all. If they want to find out anything, they use TikTok. There's a video for everything on TikTok. And you think back to the golden oldies of the likes of Mark and I, that we existed with encyclopedias, and then we got Google, and now we've been told that Google is the modern day version of an encyclopedia, and we've got to get onto TikTok. With your business, Jack, how do you plan? Because Instagram presumably is not going to be such a thing in 10 years' time. So how do you plan?
Well, funny enough, most of my traffic from the website, because I study the analytics quite a lot, because I think it's really good to actually know what's going on. Most of the traffic comes from Google, is people searching agri clothing. So that is really the main traffic source, to be honest. It's hard to say, like, in 10 years, what we're going to have to plan to do. I mean, it's like, look at COVID 4 years ago. No one anticipated that, and the state that everything got into. It's you just never know what's around the corner, really, I think. So you've just got to adapt every day to tomorrow, really, haven't you, I think. But, yeah, I don't agree. I think with Google, I would always use Google to research things. I find it's a lot, they've made it a lot easier now, user-friendly, than it used to be for finding things out.
Yeah. And then with yourself, if you think of a bigger business, like a slightly bigger business, like a Primark, they're going to have a huge statistical analysis team who are just crunching those numbers 24/7 as stuff is coming in. And they'll have focus groups to be able to test different types of clothing for different types of areas within the UK. How do you operate? So it's not meant to be a rude phrase, but do you sort of spray and pray? Do you come up with a range and just see what happens? And then take a punt? Because you must be learning, as we said earlier, all the time. How do you learn? How do you develop?
So I think if we say we've got a new product line, I always sample everything from the factory. So I want to test, firstly, I want to test the material and see, is it good? Is it how I want it? And a lot of the tests I will do, I will take it out on the farm and I run it over with machinery and rip it and I cane it with the pressure washer to see, does it work? I turn the steam on, and as long I try it, then I take it back home and I wash it at 60 degrees to see, does it hold up? And if it, sometimes they don't. Like, I was testing out some shorts last year and I was trying from a few different manufacturers. One of them gave me a pair of shorts. And when I get a pair of shorts from a new manufacturer, I get them and hold them.
Wow.
The time they won't rip. This one just went, so no, that they didn't get manufactured, that pair of shorts. But then really, this is the bit I enjoy, is will it sell or will it not sell? I can come up with an idea in my head. I think it looks really good and I think it's a great idea, but people might actually hate it. I've had some product lines that have been a terrible flop and they've sat there for ages, and then I've put them on sale and marketed it on TikTok and they've suddenly gone. And I think, okay, we've got rid of them now. We're not going to do that again, or we might change it. It can be hit and miss. Some things are always going to sell. Some things, it's a bit of a risk, but I think that's the fun part of business. It's fun. It keeps me on my toes.
Yeah, well done. And you know the next inevitable question, because I've just had a mate of mine, Caroline, from Lincolnshire, who states that all of her family have got all of your clothing. What are your thoughts on sustainable clothing? Are you looking to make that more of a push, more of a USP for your business? Because
Yes,
I suppose, sorry, Jack, for those dialed in, unless they've been living under a stone, there's a whole issue within the textile industry about sustainability, that we want to keep clothes. And I love what you're saying about road testing your clothes. You want to keep the clothes as long as possible. And if you do then move them on, that they will end up in a fantastic second home, wherever that may be. But that's the sustainability element. What are you looking to do, or what have you done to date on that front?
Well, I think generally farmers, as they are, we are quite sustainable with clothes. We like people will buy a hoodie and it would last them 3 or 4 years, I'd hope. And they don't throw things away like other. I think you look at some companies, it's like fast fashion, and they're producing garments that are going to be worn a couple of times and then someone will throw it away because it costs them £6 and they don't care. But it's all about, I think, with sustainability, we're looking at obviously sustainably sourced cotton, sustainably as manufacturing, which is sustainable. Like even all my postage bags now are all compostable. So
wow,
brilliant. it's all little differences. But I mean, I always find that with small businesses in the UK, everyone wants us to try and save the world. But the bigger problem is bigger countries are the main polluters. I mean, me really as a small business, I don't think, I mean, what I'm doing is right, but I mean, if all these small businesses made an effort to be sustainable, it would make a big difference, but it's not going to make a huge difference between like some of these big countries and corporations with their pollution and factories that are chucking stuff in the air. So I don't think I could be held too accountable for world pollution.
Yeah, but you're definitely going down that route, and all the questions are coming in.
I'm trying my best.
All the questions are coming in now. It would you have had a different business if you had not gone to Australia, Jack?
Just on WhatsApp. I think that's a very good question, whoever asked that. Thank you. I don't think if I hadn't gone to Australia, like these trucker hats. Australia, yes. They love trucker hats. Yeah. I need to get my hair cut. That's why I've got it on. It's even like with the big window stickers, I noticed out there, like on their utes or their trucks, they love big window stickers. And that's what gave me the idea, even down to I sell these little neoprene beer coolers that they call them stubby holders out there.
Yeah, so
you can hold a cold beer and your hand doesn't get cold and you're not transferring your body heat to the beer.
Yeah.
Because they absolutely love a beer.
Yeah.
Even little things like that. I mean, the Outlaw shirt, which is a massive seller for us, the Aussie style half button. It's very popular over here now, but I can see why, because they are awesome shirts and I love them myself.
Yeah.
Australia, I think my business probably wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't even exist if I didn't go to Australia. But if I didn't go to Australia, I think my mindset on life would be a lot different. I probably would be stuck in, well, the people I was hanging around with before I went to Australia, they were, I'd say, a bunch of idiots.
There's nothing wrong with that field.
And, you know, you come back and my whole aspect on life changed. And I just think it makes people grow up. And you can
Jack, I'm just going to steal the conversation, throw it back to Mark. Mark, it's something that we've learned over these multiple broadcasts, haven't we, that we've learned from Jack. Be curious. And also, Jack, one thing that we've learned from a number of the agriculture universities is that they get a bit frustrated that the student population aren't keen to explore international agriculture like you are. But Mark, how can we duplicate what Jack has learned to create the success that he has by getting younger individuals within agriculture to be curious like Jack and travel internationally like Jack? How do we do that, Mark?
I think if we look at the Gen Z and the modern generation, it's getting those stories and like Jack will have, he's got a good following on social medias, but explaining this is what I did and I didn't have a plan and there's nothing wrong with that. And I've stumbled across something. I knew I wanted to do something, but didn't know what it did. I think it's how we share that within the modern platforms to the next generations. And like Jack, I can remember in our lecture, we always got a couple of students to come back like Jack that had done different weird and wonderful things to kind of share that with them. with the cohort that are in that the world's your lobster, and you can do whatever you want to do if you put your mind to it.
Yeah, because Jack, I suppose that's the advantage that you've got that Mark and I didn't have at your age was the tools that you've got. There's a stat that comes out that the average 18-year-old in the gig economy, potentially when they will retire, will have somewhere between 60 to 70 different jobs because they can work on sort of a consultancy basis. So say they go down the route of programming, they could program for 6 months for a business. They go traveling for 3 months and then go work for another business in Thailand, just making up a random country. You don't have to be locked and have same career, but you've got to be curious and you've got to know how to use the tools like you have, Jack.
Yeah, I think definitely is when you're out there, you have. I got offered quite a few different jobs after I'd finished. I was meant to go seeding, but I did actually. I didn't go through with that. I went to Western Australia afterwards, and I wasn't really a massive fan of Western Australia compared to New South Wales. But it's when you're out there, the world's your oyster, really. I wish I kind of stayed out there longer and went and saw some more places or did some more things. But it's out there, they're always screaming for people to do different jobs. And you can see why so many people, like especially tradespeople, will leave this country and become like a tradesperson out there. Because the lifestyle is a lot better, really. I find.
Next question in. This is from Henry in Cornwall. Jack, are you a businessman or an influencer?
I don't like to think of myself as an influencer, really. You see, I don't know how to say this without sounding too horrible, but you see these influencers, and a lot of them get gifted stuff from businesses. Or they, you know, they're trying to promote stuff. A lot of them don't seem to have a job. They just spend their life on Instagram and TikTok. But I'd call myself more of a business person. I don't like to say a business person. Maybe more entrepreneur. It's more humble way.
Yeah, I love it.
I wouldn't class myself as an influencer. I personally don't agree as a brand with. I don't agree with gifting influencers things because there's a large. Like influencers, they get gifted this stuff and they will never buy stuff from businesses because they just expect to be given it. And I also don't think it's a great thing for people's mental health. Like, why we put these people on a pedestal because they've got so many followers that are we going to send gift them all these this free clothing? And it makes other people that maybe struggle with mental health and they're not so self-confident, they get quite, it might affect them. I don't agree with that kind of mentality. I mean, I'm quite opinionated with that sort of stuff, but I think most of the generation now, there seems to be sort of a bit of negativity towards influencers. I feel some people, they get a bit fed up with them.
Yeah. Mark,
some
your view?
Do it a bit.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that you come up with this because the world of the influencer is even more and more prevalent. And you know, I suppose coming back to thinking about that, so as an industry, as a sector, we are deemed a little bit traditional, and that's not me being derogatory in any way, shape or form. You've mentioned about that there's quite a lot of competition now within the kind of, in the space that you're operating. How did you kind of, how have you differentiated the brand? How have you adapted it to resonate with that more modern, the audience that you're trying to, the consumer you're trying to tailor to? What have you done? Because it seems like the business has grown quite quickly and a little bit organically in terms of what have you done to try and adapt and tailor more to that customer that you're targeting?
So I think really with any brand run by any person or anyone wanting to run a brand, you have got to depict something from it, which makes your brand completely unique and is a complete advantage to you. So in that case, I would say like, with the stickers especially, they, from a business perspective, they've got a great markup, and there's not many other clothing brands that sell the brand name as a big sticker that people are putting on machinery. And I think that is something that keeps it unique, and it's also quite good advertising for me, really, because people will see it on machinery or trucks and it gets people talking. And I think anything that gets people talking is a good thing. Whether I'm a great believer there's no such thing as bad publicity, really, even if people go, oh, I don't like that sticker, it looks crap. Like, it doesn't, they're still talking. So at the end of the day, it's kind of still giving you an advantage, isn't it? I think, really.
Yeah. I also think that's one thing that's obvious about you, Jack, is you to succeed in what you're doing, you've got to be human and you've got to be authentic. And
massively.
Mark, you definitely can see that with Jack, can't you? Mark, in some ways, Jack's really humble when he should be actually standing on his on the biggest John Deere he is and going, look at me. But that's not you, Jack, is it? But as I said earlier, for my 16-year-old to be so keen to be associated with you, I hope this is okay to have your sticker on his scooter.
Oh yeah, of course.
Which is rather than and hence that quite interesting question about are you an influencer? Because it is more of a vanity project. Whilst you are very human, you're very very authentic.
See why people might think I'm an influencer, but I suppose that's quite a debatable subject, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but I suppose the obvious question is that if say the Farmers Weekly contacted you to say we're having a panel discussion at Plumpton in June, would you like to come and sit on the panel with a couple of failed MPs? Sorry, with a couple of MPs and some other Jack, would you go sit on that panel?
Oh, of course, I wouldn't. I wouldn't think twice about it. I'd go and sit on a panel. Like it's everything, especially that sort of situation. It's always a learning curve. You've got to think, what's the worst that could go wrong, really? I mean, they're not going to put you up against the wall and shoot you if anything goes wrong, are they? So you've got to go along and learn from these things. And especially an opportunity like that, I'd probably pick people's minds on questions to ask them and do a bit more research. But
yeah. Quick question then. It's great that Jack is looking to promote agriculture. What is his view of agriculture currently? And I suppose we're not trying to segue into 125 tractors going around Westminster the other day, but are you positive, Jack, about agriculture from where you see it, your cohort, your business? Are you positive? Are you encouraging people to come into this? What's your overall view of agriculture at the moment, Jack?
Well, I think a lot of people, farmers generally want to be quite negative and depressing about things and moan about things. I'm very guilty of that myself, especially with the weather. But if you look at agriculture the way it is now, there's so many more young people coming into agriculture and wanting to support it, especially with like the likes of Caleb Cooper and Clarkson's Farm. They have done an absolute world of good. And it seems to be a lot more of, it's not looked down upon so much by the general public. And I think there's a lot more support there. And especially with the more younger following coming through, I think agriculture does actually have a very bright future. And I can see that with what's going on in the UK at the minute, I think in 7 or 8 years' time, we're going to realise that how much food we actually are capable of producing, that we will become strong again with agriculture. And I'm a great believer in that, really.
Yeah, Mark and I have often said, well, I'll say it because Clarkson's done more for agriculture than 22 years of Countryfile. A month ago, I went to see Caleb with my 16-year-old Mad About Agriculture son in Nottingham, and there was 3,500 people there. And he asked everyone, put your hands up if you're involved with agriculture. It was about 10% of the crowd, and it's all because of this slightly madcap brilliance. Tractor driver who's created something with Jeremy that he's now on he calls it a world tour, but it's just around England at the moment, fitting in between harvest and silage. That he's getting people in. Mark, are you finding the same with the AHDB, that although you promote agriculture internally, your AHDB are also doing a lot externally, like the competition that you won last year on Meet with the Lionesses. Are you finding that the AHDB is getting more of an open door talking to consumers externally of the trade?
Yeah, no, we've got a massive area of work where we are communicating the good work that UK farmers do, backing up with evidence to the consumers so that they're readily informed to make their choices and their decisions about what they're going to eat and how they're going to support British farmers.
Yeah. So guys, where do we take this all? If we've got the likes of yourself, Jack, looking to make this this difference, and we've got the likes of the AHDB, is that enough, do you think, Jack, Mark, to get more people to come in and to get more consumers to eat and enjoy British produce? Or is there more that can be done? Oh, what a question. Jack, what more could be done to attract people in to agriculture and to get them to consume more British produce? Go, Jerry.
I always think about this, actually, and now you've actually asked me, I cannot think of my ideas. I think really there needs to be kind of a government scheme of an incentive to get people, more people, to go to the agricultural college afterward, after school, maybe. That would be a good one. I mean, I'm not a member of parliament, but I do believe it annoys me at the minute with the amount of foreign meat you see, like New Zealand lamb. Why does it need to be on British shelves? There should be a massive tax on imports on foreign meat, really, that the supermarket should be paying if they want foreign meat on the shelf. I think that's a problem that we've got to face. I mean, the government want to tax everything else astronomically, so why can't they tax that? But beside the point, really, getting more young people in agriculture, I think it's something social media will sell to people eventually with what's going on. I think there should be some more farming shows on Amazon Prime or Netflix, really. I think there should maybe... Do you remember there used to be a show about 10 years ago? It was First Time Farmers, where they interviewed like young people in farming, getting into farming or doing different... like there'd be a different job or they'd be going to a young farmers party. I think there just needs to be more farming programs on TV, really, that are not biased and they actually show the brutal truth about not like Countryfile where they've got people running around cuddling badgers.
But Jack, I think you got this. You created a great idea. Mark, why can't we create an Amazon or a Netflix series that's run by the AHDB to promote agriculture? Jack and I are for that, aren't you, Jack?
Watch this space. We'll see what happens. Jack, going back to Feel Alive and thinking about that, what's been your biggest mistake?
Oh,
that has helped you push forward? What have you learned from the most? From a bit of a boo-boo. Different lines and things haven't quite worked, but what's been the sticking point, but then you've learned so much from it?
I've made a lot of small mistakes, really, and some of them I've forgotten. With what I'm doing, you need a really good relationship with your manufacturer, and that's what I'm really lucky I've got now. I've got funny enough, the bloke who is my main manufacturer is the same age as me, and he's on the same wavelength, and he's absolutely brilliant. And like, he'll even show me what he's having for dinner in China. We've got that much of a great relationship because I find their culture quite interesting. But if you don't have that relationship with the supplier and you don't talk to them that well, things will go wrong. Like last year, it kind of worked out to my benefit in the end. I had a whole delivery of shorts, which were done in the wrong, completely the wrong yellow. And that was a massive setback for me because I was thinking, what do I do with these? Do I just chuck them and destroy them and get rid of them? Or do I sell them? So in the end, I actually didn't end up paying for them because I flat out refused, even though I had them. But that was my mistake, that I wasn't thorough enough with that supplier, that it kind of went wrong and it just wasn't a great relationship. But that is a massive part of it, is having a good relationship with the supplier and keeping on top of them. And it wasn't really my fault they got manufactured in the wrong colour, but I just think that's something I've got. If you're running a business like this, you've got to be a lot more on the ball with it and have a good supplier that you can trust, because that one, it turned out I couldn't trust them.
And I suppose, like you say, you've got an understanding of him and a bit of a personal relationship with him, but also flip side, he's understanding where you're wanting to push forward and push forward. So on the flip side of that, is there been a bit of a pivot point or a real highlight that helped kick the brand off or that has pushed you forward?
I think the biggest thing that got the brand, like, everyone looks forward to it every summer. I do an offer every summer. It is coming back this year for everyone that wants to know, the sunglasses offer, where I do free sunglasses with a certain order amount. This year it's going to be slightly different for the better, but that was a massive promotion, really, because everyone's wearing these sunglasses with the brand name on them, and everyone wants to nick them off everyone else. And it, for people that didn't know what the brand was, they'd see it and they'd go, because it's quite, you have to look twice at the logo, I think. That's why it works really well, to understand what it is and what it says. I always find it quite hard trying to explain to someone on the phone, and they ask for your email address, and I'm saying it's office at Feel Alive Ag, and they're like, Feel Alive what? And it's kind of, it works quite well because people look at it and they're like, oh, what's that? So they search it up and they see what it is. And I always find that's quite a good strategic for marketing.
Yeah.
Really,
well, I've just had a question in. Being curious, would you look at Plant Hire? Plant Hire is massive, and we don't have many branded clothing options apart from Caterpillar and JCB. Would you look to expand the brand?
Well, I don't think really that our slogan is Designed for Dirt, and it could stand for anything really: construction, building, farming, off-road. A lot of the off-roader boys seem to quite like it, I think, really. So I guess agricultural, but as when you look at, there's like other brands, there's, I won't say the name of it, there's a brand that has a green emblem on the sleeve, and it was designed to be a work brand, but now it's a brand associated with football hooligans.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how a brand can start off something and be worn by a completely different groups. So I think brands can evolve like that, really, which is, that's part of the adventure, is how in 10 years, where will the brand be? I can't depict that, really. So
yeah, and Jack, on that side, internationally, does Jack sell? Is the product that's just fallen off? Is that being sold internationally, or is most of your sales on a UK perspective?
Most of them are all UK, on a UK perspective. Ireland is quite popular, but the problem is, like, the shipping kills it, really, because I haven't got a supply. I haven't got a supplier over there yet, so really, it's something I would look into. Australia and New Zealand, they like to buy it. America too, but it's just the shipping and the import tax, really, which kills it for the overseas consumers.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's the same with anything. I see brands in Australia and I think, oh, that's really nice. But it's the import, the shipping you're paying to get it over. It's just the way of the world, really, isn't it?
But you know, Jack, you know what the solution is. I'm going to leave that with you.
Mark, I know what the solution is.
So, Mark, what do you think we've learned from our Jack today, then?
We've learned lots of things. And I think the little notes that I've written down is, have a go, and don't be frightened of what to be curious, and what's going to turn up around at the other side. The other thing is once you've established something that you think's a bit of a go, is the point that we were talking about, in terms of building strong relationships and just learning from those mistakes and being quite strong in those mistakes. And I've seen that a lot of times the AgriLead Forum was built around it was about connections. Life is built around relationships, and we need to leverage those and make sure that whoever you're working with has a strong understanding of what you're doing to be able to deliver what you need them to deliver.
Yeah, and just to top a tail, Jack, from my perspective, as I said earlier, I think what's really nice about you is that you are very human and very authentic, and hence why we're just leaning on your view of influences, that you're not looking to be that. In some ways, you're really positively entertaining, because you're quite a little bit shy and a little bit modest, but you're not, because as per the example about when you go sit in a Farmers Weekly session, I'd be there, and so you've got this great mix. So I think the future's so bright, you're gonna have to wear shades, Jack.
Well, I try not to be too opinionated, because I am quite an opinionated person for people that know me, so I've tried to be a bit watered down today. I'm probably worse when I go out the pub and I jump on an opinion, but it's a bit too early in the morning for a beer. So, well, it's the afternoon now, actually, isn't it? But
So come on, Jack. You know where this is going. We've got so many people that will be dialed into this, either watching live or on the podcast or on the records. What would you say to them as to how they can make a success for their career in agriculture, horticulture, fresh produce, from what you've learned on this basis that you're only a third of the way through your book? But what what would you say to them as to how they can get the best out of themselves to make a success of what they're doing within this amazing sector we're all in?
Someone once told me, a wise man at the pub once told me, if you come up with a business idea and you think this is a good idea in a week or two's time, you've got to go and do it. So I think really just for people that are they're doubting an idea, should I do it, should I not, go and do it and see what happens. As long as you can like afford to do that and it's not going to give you too many setbacks, just go and do it and see what happens. And like, what is the worst that can happen? Sometimes you've got to ask yourself.
Yeah, and Corn was just coming in and said, what's your next business idea, Jack?
My next business idea, I do have some business ideas.
Love it.
I won't say, because I do like to keep things secret and not let people know what's going on. So whether they're trying to catch me out there and see what I was up to, I can't really say, unfortunately, because I'm a bit secretive with things like that.
No, I wouldn't expect you to say anything else. Mark, he's so impressive about Jack, isn't he? I think we just learned. So he's just bubbling full of enthusiasm. And I'm hoping that the people that will watch this will just see through osmosis that, if Jack can do it, well, surely I can do it, whatever that thing might be. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't have a clue what I'm doing, so that'd be fun.
No, it's true. The authenticity, the have a go, the curious attitude, and just to throw yourself in there. And I'm sure that Jack didn't put thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds into Feel Alive. He had a go. He made a few stickers and he built on that. So I think that they're the key things. And then the other bits is like tailoring the analytics and tailoring to your market and to establish that brand and utilizing your digital connections, but also the analytics that you're getting for the website and things like that, which is good. So yeah, really, really good. And yeah, let's just hopefully it's inspired a few people to try something and push it forward.
Yeah, just go for it.
Just in from Scotland, mates in Scotland. Jack is the poster boy for the sectors. What is his website, please, so we can purchase some of his products? So go on, Jack.
Just go on Google and type in Feel Alive Agri and you will find it. It's black and yellow and it's got lots of great pictures on there. I actually spent the whole day yesterday updating the website and my brain was fried by the end of the day. There you go. That is how you find the online store.
I think that there'll be a large strawberry farm in north of Edinburgh that's going to be adorning all their John Deere's with your stickers, much to the boss's annoyance.
Scotland, they love Feel Alive Agri in Scotland. I'm forever sending stuff up to Scotland, and there's some big customers up there that seem to spend thousands a year.
Can Jack come up and visit Scotland soon?
Yes, I will come up to Scotland.
Excellent. Mark, we're going to have to run behind him with our AHDB liveries to get that halo effect of it. Mark, we're running out of time. Wrap up for us, please. I really enjoyed this. Learned so much from Jack today. Go on, Mark.
No, we've got actually great broadcast, and it's really good to see. Again, I've known Jack for many, many years and saw him at Ag College to just see that he's had an idea and he's gone with it and he's been curious and he's tried and he's established a business that anyone can actually do. So, yeah, really, really pleased to have you. Check him out on the website. And if you've missed this, either follow it on all the social media channels or it'll be posted on both Beanstalk and AHDB's web pages afterwards.
Excellent. And just to wrap up, Jack, who is your best agricultural lecturer at college, please?
Wasn't Mark. I'm joking. No, it was Mark, I think, really. You know us gingers, we stick together, don't we? So.
Oh, stop it. that's just broke the internet.
We're a fantastic team at Plumpton. There was a lot of other good lecturers there with Clyde, Dave Lamb and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, but no, I'm touched, Jack. I'm touched. He was a model student.
Excellent. Well done, everyone. Well, as the Campbell household has another delivery of Feel Alive Agri through the front door there. Jack, thank you. You've been brilliant.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure being here today.
Yeah, we're all going to buy your gear. Mark, just quickly, what's coming up with the AHDB that we need to know about, please, that we can be excited about?
Oh, there's all sorts of things coming up. We've got a live stream in April to promote Great British Beef Week with some chefs. And we've got a whole new series planned of talking leaders for season four as we move into the new financial year. So there's lots and lots of stuff going on. So watch this space.
Excellent. Okay, Jack, wrap up for us. Give us the logo. Give us the phrases. Oh, over to you to wrap it all up, Jack. Over to you. One, two, three.
What do you want me to say?
Oh, we want it. We want your logo. We want your motto. Go.
Right, Feel Alive Agri, designed for dirt since 2017.
Boom. Goodbye.
There
Well
we
done,
go.
Jack. You're brilliant.